I want to begin with the title for change. Who remembers the topic of Sefer Yechezkel needing Knisa? Just want to make sure everyone's heard of the topic. Okay, now, who can tell me what's so problematic about it? Who can explain the question, not the answer? Just in general.
A lot of halachos that seem to be so serious. A lot of halachos that seem to be so serious.
Okay, so let's take each word he said. There's a lot of halachot in Yechezkel that go against halachot in Chumash, which should make sense, and we have a problem with that, because according to the Rambam's principles of faith, we have to believe that all these random things are true, and we have to believe the Torah is true and it can't be changed. So, let's say your assumption is correct, how would you have to answer it? How would they answer it in college? You know, okay. How would they answer it in Chazal or in Art Scroll? What would they say?
It's not the same thing.
So how would they answer
among
it?
Among the possibilities, you're talking about two different sets of rules. Mm-hmm. Or Chazal will do what they usually do.
Okay. So I want to... The answer was in the question. Okay? You said there are halachot in Yechezkel that contradict Chumash. Yechezkel is not a book of halachot. And it shouldn't be a book of halachot. Now, it's definitely nevuah. The question is, we have to understand, what is Yechezkel talking about? He does talk about korbanot that we don't have in Chumash. And seem to be similar to Chumash, but a little bit different. We have to see, if Yechezkel was talking about korbanot that aren't in Chumash, then one of two directions. Either we can say, like, one day, that the Gemara will see, that Eliyahu will come and solve the problem. That's the classic answer. There's nothing terrible about questions. That's a nice way of saying we don't have an answer. Or you can say that, you can make like Nukimta. Yechezkel isn't talking about halachot, there's something special for his time period. I think that direction, we'll see it later in the Gemara as well, will make a lot more sense. I want to begin with the flip side. If it's problematic, why print it at all? Like the more modern approach is, if there's some book that might bring up a problem, that might be problematic, just don't publish it. Or don't let people see it, or don't teach it. If there's something problematic, why canonize it? Just why can't you play safe? And therefore, there's got to be something in Yechezkel, there must be something positive about the book, that it's worth taking the risk of scaring a kid, or it's worth taking the risk of appearing to contradict yourself. In fact, we read in Parshat Tamor, some of the most obvious contradictions. I think it's Haftar and Amor, when we talk about, it should be Amor, when we quote Yechezkel. Yeah. No. Which is really bold, no. To put it there. I want to begin this year with the beginning of Perek Mem, and I have to just take a word of review about Sefer Yechezkel. For those who aren't familiar, Yechezkel has several key sections. It's real easy to organize the book. The first 24 chapters are the rebuke of Am Yisrael. It explains why God is taking Shekhinah away, why the Shekhinah is leaving Yerushalayim, and why Yerushalayim has to be destroyed and the nation has to go into exile, or has already gone into exile, part of them. Because the people have to understand that their exile doesn't mean God left them, it means that they left God. And the shurim, which we've done up until now, I don't want to repeat them, but just want to review, the main point of Yechezkel, and that's why we have to have him, in order that the nation doesn't interpret exile, it's game over. So we don't interpret our exile like Christianity does, that God doesn't want us anymore, but rather, we're not worthy of the land of Israel, but we're in rehab to understand that you've been punished because you were bad, but not to the point that you're never coming back. You have to take exile as a time of rehab, of remorse, cheshbon nefesh, and contemplation. And then when you go through your time of rehab, then there's time to return and make things right again. That should be simple. That's what you need a Navi for. You don't need a Navi to make new halachot. You need a Navi to inspire the people to return to God. And when you come back, not to repeat the mistakes of the first time. I think that's a much more logical approach, and that's why we need the Navi. If that's the case, why would the Navi in this book bring up things that seem to contradict? That's what we have to deal with in the class. The first 24 chapters is a rebuke. Remember, it was year 5, year 6, and year 7, primarily, from the time of exile. And just, I hope it's just so clear to people remember. But there's two waves of exile. 11 years before the temple was destroyed, there's what's called Galut Yehoyachin, Galut Yehonia, where the aristocracy and the leaders of the nation are exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. After that time period, the temple could remain and does remain, under the rule of Tzidkiyahu, who's the vassal king, under the Babylonians. In the fourth or fifth year, that was the last couple of topics we did, there's a revolt by the king. Yirmiyahu was against it. And because of that revolt, the Shekhinah leaves Yerushalayim. And that's the first point of Yechezkel. When he sees the Shekhinah leaving, it's exactly when the revolt begins. And going against God, saying, submit yourself to Babylon, you did it. And in the 2 years that the false prophets are saying, in the next 2 years, the Shekhinah is coming back, those year 5, 6, and 7 of Galut HaYachin, which is 5 or 6 years before the Korban, when all the false prophets are saying, get ready, it's Mashiach time, you know, Babel's falling and you're coming back to Yerushalayim, Yechezkel is saying, you have it all wrong, it's getting worse, and God's leaving Yerushalayim and going to Babel, and he's got to be really theatric to get his message across. Remember, he talks about all these amazing visions. So that's the first 24 chapters. Chapters 25 to 32, that's called Nevot Amin. That's rebuke to the other nations, which is a unit that stands alone. But the main theme of that unit is, which we also discussed, is that God is punishing those nations for their attitude of the destruction of Am Yisrael. But that's a unit that stands by itself, which is a background to understand why later on God's going to bring redemption, even though you don't deserve it. And that was the theme of Leman Shmo. Even though you're not deserving of redemption, you should be. But even if you don't, so God's name should not be desecrated. I'll bring you back, even though you're not deserving, with the hope that when you do come back, you will be deserving. And that's Nevot Nachama we have in chapters 36 and 37, Gog and Magog, which is a topic by itself, 37, 39. And in the middle, we had that Nevot that we did last year about the Rosh Hashanah one, about blowing the shofar, which we dedicated last year to. That was Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet. Now, the end of the book is almost chiastic, because the end of the book, the last 9 chapters, from chapter 40 to 49, 40 to 48, the last 8 chapters, the last 9 chapters, it's always confusing, right? 40 to 48 is 9 chapters. Those chapters talk about the Shekhinah returning, and just like the book began with a vision of the Shekhinah leaving Yerushalayim and landing in Babel, in an organized manner, in a chiastic manner, the book ends with God Shekhinah leaving Babel and returning to Yerushalayim. Now, it's in that vision of the Shekhinah returning to Yerushalayim that Yechezkel sees what's supposed to happen, what seems to be, and in that vision, he talks about things which appear to contradict what's in Chumash. Now, what we have to do now in Shir is to see what is he talking about, and if those laws that he talks about appear to contradict Chumash, we have to figure out why. What would be the meaning of it, other than just, you know, 2 different sources. Therefore, I want to begin with the beginning of Perek Mem. Look at the beginning of Perek Mem, which has to be parallel to the beginning of Perek Aleph, because in Perek Aleph, again, Yechezkel sees the Shekhinah leaving Yerushalayim going to Babel, and in Perek Mem will begin his vision of the Shekhinah returning to Yerushalayim. We're going to pay attention, first and foremost, to the date. And the source sheet. Yechezkel Perek Mem, Pasuk Aleph, if you have a Navi, if you have the source sheet, it's fine. Yisrimechamesh Shana Legaluteno, Brosh Hashana, Basor Lachodesh. When does this whole unit begin? Take my word for it, that from Mem to Mem to Memchet is one long unit called Pirkei Hamikdash of Yechezkel. In fact, most people call it, I want to take a break for a minute because I should have read the first source, look in the Rambam. I'm saying, where does this go in order? So I take the Mishnah about Chananeb ben Chizkiel ben, remember that one? In Masechet Shabbat, everyone served the 18 things. Remember Masechet Shabbat? There was a big machloket. There was a rabbinic hangout, not a hangout. There was a place where the rabbis like to argue. To this day, that's Jewish tradition. Rabbis like to argue. But they need a place to argue. So there was a guy named Chananya ben Chizkiyahu, and he had upstairs, he had an aliyah. There's a bayit, the first floor, aliyah, the second floor. If you've been to Katrin, mm-hmm. You probably saw that. That's how they built in the second, end of the time of the Tanaim. And up in his attic, or his upper floor, that's where he used to argue. And this guy, whose house they used to argue at, that's where they had an argument. And finally, when Beit Shammai, remember? Finally, it was like Israeli coalition politics. And they finally got a coalition together to paskin like Beit Shammai for 18 things. No. It's that same guy whose house it was, when they weren't arguing in his house, he sat and learned and studied. And they mentioned in the Gemara Tam Rabban, it's a big ketam Megillat Tanit, it says Chananya ben Chizkiyahu and his chevra. Wrote Megillat Tanit because they used to like, not like the tzarot, they used to like the redemption. Remember, Megillat Tanit is when we're saved from the tzarot. So his chevra liked Jewish history. He liked the fact that we get into trouble all the time so that we can thank God for being redeemed all the time. like we've been up there. Now, then in the middle, Amrav Yehuda Amrav, Baram. You know what Baram means? Sort of, by the way. Zachor oto ha'ish letov, who? Hanani ben Chizkiyahu shmo, shemaleihu nignas sefer Yechezkel. If it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for his op-ed or blog, we would not have been able to canonize Sefer Yechezkel. Got that? What did he do? Shayu dvarim sotrim divrei Torah. He didn't say his halachot, right? He says his words. Not his halachot were soter divrei Torah, but the words in the book, or his message, appeared to contradict the words of the Torah. Masa, what did he do? Halulo gimel meot gavish. He got lots of oil. Why does he need oil for? Because that's electricity. He needs a lot of light. V'yashab aliyah v'darshan. The problem is, and Rashi points that out, Rashi points out later on in Cheskel, he says, Rabbeinu HaRabim, we lost his blog. No one saved it. We know that Hanani ben Gurion, he answered all the questions. We don't have all of his answers. We have a couple in the Masechet Menachot. We'll see one or two of them. But we know we answered them, but it's amazing that no one saved the copy. That they probably put in the Gemizah. Now, I want to show you why it's not halachot. That was great you said halachot. Listen, if Yechezkel is halacha, what should they do in the beginning of the Second Temple period when they return, when they have to build the temple? How should they build it? If Yechezkel is halacha, how should they build the temple? Based on Yechezkel's vision. But look what they did. Look in the Rambam, Hilchot Beit HaBchira, in the beginning, right in the first parak. It says, Binyan Shabana Shlomo, have it found refreshed by Melachim. We know what Shlomo Melech built. The one that needs to be built in the future is alluded to in Yechezkel, but it's not clear. Okay. What did they do in the time of Ezra? They did more like Beit Rishon than Yechezkel. What did they do? When they built the second temple, the format was Beit Rishon. And they made a couple of judgments which reflect some of the ideas in Yechezkel, but they don't use Yechezkel as the floor plan. So, is that the word? No. They don't look at Yechezkel and take his charge and say, that's how we're building it. They build it like Shlomo. Which means, what did Beit Sheni understand? The Rabbi might understand differently, but the people of Beit Sheni, what did they understand? That Yechezkel is not halacha. That's clear. Now, it could be they said Yechezkel is halacha for the third Beit HaMikdash. But no one told them in Beit Sheni there'll be a third Beit HaMikdash, did they? They didn't have the Ramban on the Beirut of... in prophetic hindsight, rabbinic hindsight, there's going to be three. And after the third one's destroyed, they'll talk about four. Because according to Chumash, and that we can't change, any temple can always be destroyed. Remember? Shlomo thought his can never be destroyed. And what did God tell him right away? Yes, it can. We hope it won't be. And the second one, everyone at the end of Beit Sheni thought it might be destroyed. It can't be destroyed, and that led to the big revolt against Rome. Everyone was so sure it can't be destroyed because the first one, fine, but the second one never be destroyed. And everyone wrote about it. It was in a little Shabbat. Everyone was sure of it. And sure enough, it was also destroyed. And if I follow Chumash, and all the Tochachot, and Pshutosh of our Chumash, as long as we're in Olam Hazeh, if we're not deserving of representing God, we won't be able to represent God, which makes perfect sense. We hope that it'll be good again, and we hope, but the second you're in this fail-safe, I can never be punished, or then people become too... Now, in time of depression and exile, when people have given up hope totally, then you give a message of hope, don't worry, it'll be great again. And we shouldn't have to suffer again. But that's wonderful when someone's like sitting shiva, when someone's in trouble. But when things are going good, giving a message, don't worry, it will never get bad again, that's going to be counterproductive educationally. Now, with that background, we can see Yechezkel. Yechezkel has to give a message to make sure that when they come back and buy Cheney, it'll be good. But it's clear when they came back and buy Cheney, they didn't follow Yechezkel. Which means either they didn't, I'm sure they had Yechezkel, but they didn't understand him as halacha, they understood him as machshava. That's, to them, is Yechezkel a machshava book or halacha book? And I want to show you why it's a machshava book. Now, let's go to another Perek Ben, and look how it begins. Be'asrim v'chamesh shana legalutenu, 25th year, what year would that be? The 25th year of whose galut? Throughout Yechezkel, galutenu was always galut yohayachin. Agreed? Which is, what's the factor? How do you go from Gulut Yehoyachin to Churban HaBayit? 11 years. You always have to subtract 11 to get to the how many years from the Churban. Barosh Hashanah, What month is that? Rosh Hashanah. Where else is it talk about Rosh Hashanah and Chumash? If someone asked you, when is Rosh Hashanah? What month is Rosh Hashanah? What? Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. But Rosh Hashanah, when's that? That's Nisan. Right? Now, nowhere in Tanakh except here do we have a day called Rosh Hashanah. This is the only time. Yeah? What? In the dream. Ezra and Nehemiah, when they come back, they have something. They have a whole thing on Rosh Hashanah. Does it call it Rosh Hashanah? Take a look and see if it's called Rosh Hashanah. It's in Nehemiah, right? When they do the Amanah and everything. See if it's called Rosh Hashanah. See if it's a date. Take a look in the meantime what the date is. We'll need that later in a minute. The academics say this is what? This is Chodesh Nisan. Because according to Chumash, it's always Chodesh Nisan. On the other hand, all through Yecheskel, if it's the first month, it will say B'chodesh HaRishon. We'll see on a certain day of the month. We'll see an example in a minute. I want to suggest that this is referring to Rosh Hashanah, and we'll see why in a minute. Because the year here and the date are going to be important, and if the Navi bothers to quote the date in the month, or the date and the time in the year, it has to be significant. So on the 25th year of our Galut, Rosh Hashanah on the 10th of the month. If it is our Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Kippur. Okay? On the 14th year, how do we go from year 25 to 14? 14th, that's a nice phrase. Okay? Got it? No. If it's Yom Kippur, which makes perfect sense, if the vision is on Yom Kippur, then it makes sense that his vision will be about the theme of Yom Kippur. No. And if this is parallel to the first parak, the first parak also had a date. Look back at the beginning of the first parak of Yecheskel. What was the date? When did the book begin? In what year? Vahi b'shloshim shana. Remember? But what? I think we discussed that. 30 years BCE? What was year 30? It can't be BCE. And it can't be CE. He wasn't born yet. And it can't be BCE because he wasn't about to be born yet. So what's year 30? It's not since he set Mitzrayim. It's hundreds of years. So we have no idea what year 30 is until we continue reading. Because what's it say in the second line? Year 30 of the book of Yecheskel is what? It's equal to, take a look. It's year 5 of Galutenu. So whenever there's a dating system, there's a year date in Yecheskel, which begins with year 30, and you guys have to do the math now. If the book begins in year 30, whatever that year 30 is, something, and year 30 is year 5 of Galut HaYachim, year 25 is what? Year 25 of Galutenu? It's going to be year 50, okay? And Chazal pick up on that right away. And what is this? This is a Yovel. This is a Yovel year. Year 30, we're counting to Yovel, which makes perfect sense. It would make sense to count it to Yovel. And therefore, Chazal say, this: what happens in what year is Rosh Hashanah on Yovel? I'm sorry, what year is Rosh Hashanah? And what year does the year begin? Remember, the Yovel, I'm sorry, I said, I was redundant. In the Yovel year, when do we blow shofar? Yovel? On Yom Kippur. And the reason for that is simple. Because what happens on Yovel? It's like with Etch a Sketch. You start, you have a brand new start, right? Or after a bankruptcy, you got a whole brand new start. And what we're doing on the Yovel year, well, in our agriculture, in our land ownership, we have a whole brand new start. Everyone goes back to their Nachala. What happens in Yom Kippur? God gives us he wipes out our sins and we get a new start again. So we have a chance to mess up again. So we have a, understand? And therefore, declaring Yovel on Yom Kippur is very significant. But question. In general, if when you read Tanakh, you can't expect a halacha book. And you can't expect it to spill the beans. Listen, because that happens all the time. If that happened, Chazal would be out of business. But listen, but I'm going to explain something when you read Tanakh. Navi and Chumash, for sure, are books that were written to be studied, not read. And if you don't understand that, you can't begin to appreciate Chazal. In other words, the books were written in a way not like halacha. When you write a halacha book, you have to be as clear as possible. A good anyone who writes halacha, look at Shulchan Aruch, look at the Rambam. The goal is to be as precise and exact as possible. No doubt about it. That's the way it should be. If you read Chumash, it doesn't apply. Because if you were writing an assignment, right, and you had to be clear, and you handed in Chumash, the halacha sections, the story sections, you'd get C minuses and D's, probably fail a couple times. There's so many ambiguities, and so many things, and apparent contradictions, and things that are unclear, and dangling phrases. How do you live with that? Azuchal bikor b'shem Hashem. Chumash does that intentionally. Because what does Chumash want the reader to do? It's called Hafochba v'Hafochba. You have to study the book. And the book was written to be studied. Now, once you have a book that was written to be studied, then the book has to be studied, and based on the study, in comparison, has to be interpreted. And that's what Chazal do. In fact, they have a methodology of how to interpret, like halacha sections. That's the 13.
When you say study, I take it your meaning also requiring a Torah Shabbat. You're lumping that in?
No. That leads to Torah Shabbat. It's written in a way that requires. If I want to deduce the message, it has to be decoded. Now, there's methodologies of decoding, and that's what Chazal did. That's what the Tanaim did, and they had methodologies of decoding. Remember, that gives us a kind of shrabbanan every morning, doesn't it? Now, there's a big argument: who has a license to decode? That's a big argument. That's what gets us in trouble. But if I want to appreciate how the rabbis decoded, I have to at least study it in a way to appreciate how they decoded. I have to realize, hey, there's a Gzeirah Shavah here. I have to realize there's a Binyan Av. I have to realize there's a Klal Paru Klal. If I just take the word for granted, I won't appreciate what they're doing. And I won't appreciate the Machloket. Now, I can also assume that it's, as far as Machshava goes, as far as its theme, it also needs to be decoded. Remember, if there's a story about Avram, if the story about Avram Vinu, and the city of stone keeps on coming up all the time, and Elonam Amrei, and Chumash talks about it, maybe there's something deeper in just the story that happened. Maybe I'm supposed to tie the stories together. If there's a covenant with Noach and the flood, after the flood, and when God makes a covenant with Avram Vino and Brit Milah, I'm using the same words over again. And in the flood, I have a story about 40 days and 40 nights in a Teva and Matzachem Bene Hashem, and I find the exact same words like Har Sinai with Moshe Rabbeinu. Chumash is doing that on purpose so that you learn something. Chumash never tells you, hey, it's exactly the same. Chumash doesn't tell you what to do. But the assumption is that those parallels are significant, and through study of Chumash, I learned from those parallels, and all rabbinic thought, and all rabbinic, both in halacha and for sure machshava, is based on that assumption. Every drasha is from Chumash is based on that thing. So therefore the question, why is it named Mufarash?
That's the date, and that's the projecting to the theme of the Nebuah. It could have said, Yom Tzom HaGadol, it seems
or it could be, it's assumed it's understood. Like it's almost everyone who reads it understands it, and almost no one questions that. Now, I want to show you why it makes sense it's going to be Yom Kippur. Because it will explain the changes that Yechezkel talks about. That's what we'll need Chumashim in a minute. Now, let's now continue what happened. Now, what does he say? B'marot Elohim, he has a vision. Habyali Eretz Yisrael, just like in the beginning of the book, he had a vision. And in that vision, God took him on that Disney ride to the land of Israel and saw that vision. Here in this vision again, he goes to the land of Israel. Okay. He goes to a big, to the city on a high mountain, and he sees it from below, from the south. Okay. And he sees this guy, and the guy's got little like measuring stick and things like that. And then he follows him for the next three chapters, measuring everything. Like, it's like, I wouldn't say boring, but it's very technical. It's what's called midot. Everything's being measured. What?
Go with the first word.
Boring?
Yeah.
It's tedious. Tedious is a better word. Okay. Vuolid Bashar. Vadabre lahayish ben adam rei bei necha ubaznecha ushma v'sim nipcha b'chol asher ni mare otcha ki leman harotcha huvatahena hagein ad kol asher torah lebet Yisrael. Why is God taking Yechezkel on this vision? On this tour of Yerushalayim? Because what does Yechezkel have to do? He has to tell that to the people. Now, to tell the people for what reason? So they know what halachot to do?
Yeah, so they know there's a future.
Well, we'll see. Okay. And then we go on, measuring. It's all detail, technical detail. And therefore, we're going to skip right to the end. In Perek Mem Gimel, we get to the end.
ויודכנו על השאר אשר פונה דרך הקדים, והנה כבוד אלהי ישראל בא מדרך הקדים, בגינגן בפרק מהמגמו, וכל הקקו מים רבים בארץ תהירים בכבודו. Okay, another vision of God's presence coming out to Yerushalayim. פצה גימו זה כי, which is obvious, וכמראה המראה אשר ראיתי, כמראה אשר ראיתי בבואי לשחט את העיר, ומראות כמראה אשר ראיתי על הנער כפר ועפל פניי. What does he see? The exact same vision he saw in Perek Aleph. Got it? The same vision he saw of the Shekhinah living Yerushalayim, now he sees returning to Yerushalayim. וכבוד השם בא אל הבית ודרך השער אשר פניו, ותצאני רוח. What do we have in the beginning? ותצאני רוח ושמע אחרי כל רעש גדול, ברוך כבוד השם במקומו. We said it a half hour ago. And he sees the same thing here again. And now listen what he tells him. I'm going to return to these. We'll read in order. Pasuk Zayin. Bayim Reilai, Ben Adam. Et mekom kisid ve mekom kapot raglai. Asher ashkon sham betoch bnei Yisrael l'olam. V'lo yitamu od beit Yisrael shem kodshi hema u'machehem. Biznutam v'figrei machehem b'motam. What happened? This was the place for my glory. My house. I was dwelling here. I pitched my tent here. And by having a tent here that showed you and showed the world that you as a nation represent God, here's where I wanted to put it. Here's where I was for a while. But what did they do wrong? Betitam pasaket. Betitam sipam et sipi. Know what that means? What's a saf? Remember Korban Pesach? There's the mezuzah and the saf. The lentil, I think, on top?
Lintel.
Lintel. And the lentils is that's the soup. L-I-N-T-L. The saf on top, and the side is the mezuzah. I think that's it, isn't it? But the saf is the floor. The mashkof is on top. So the threshold on the floor, okay? And the mezuzah are the side. So listen carefully. What's he talking about? In Bayit Rishon, if you remember Shlomo Melech, when he builds the Mikdash, the temple and the king's palace are next door neighbors. Now, the temple is higher up. The temple is where the Golden Dome is. Where and the used to be silver. The Alaska Mosque is a little bit lower down. That's where the king's house was. But they were living, they were next door neighbors. And when you need to borrow sugar from your next door neighbor, right? You knock on the door. And we need to borrow gold from your next door neighbor. Knock on the door. And whenever the king needed some gold, what did he do? It was too close for comfort. If you know your history, what happens in Bayit Sheni? There's leadership, but it's not on the same mountain. Meluch Yechezkel reflects and Bayit Sheni for sure, is going to be a reaction to the kings in Bayit Rishon overdoing it. And they were too close for comfort. It's a nice idea that Shlomo had. Because the king represents, our kingdom represents Malchut Shamayim. And to show the association between the two, you want to have them next to each other and God a little bit higher. But sometimes you're too close for comfort. Too close isn't too good, ask any misnagid. What's wrong with Hasidut? Sometimes too close, you're too friendly, and you lose the respect. V'timut shem kodshi, v'tavotam asher asu, v'chalotam bapi. They defiled. Whenever you have tumah, that's why the analogy of tumah is perfect. When there's tumah, you can't have a relation. And we talked about, I think, last time, each book has a reason for the Shekhinah to leave. Did we discuss that last time or not? In every book in Chumash, there's a reason why the Shekhinah leaves. In Sefer Shemot, when does the Shekhinah leave in Sefer Shemot? The Shekhinah comes in Har Sinai. What causes the Shekhinah to leave? Chet Ha'egel, right? Because it's Kilo Lebi Kibracha. What will bring the Shekhinah back in Sefer Shemot? Basu the Mikdash for Shachante. You know, building the Mishkan will bring the Shekhinah back. And the book ends with the Shekhinah returning. That's going to be key for the Shir today. In Sefer Vayikra, what causes the Shekhinah to leave? If you were in Shul Yom Kippur at Mincha time and awake, you read about it? Barayot. Remember? Velota Tamu. Again, the word Tumah. That's what those did. Velota Ki Haaretz Etchem B'tamachem Ota Kasher Kat Agoy Asher Diflechem Ki Ko Toivot What causes the Shekhinah to leave in Sefer Vayikra? Arayot. Okay. In the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we have the laws of Arim Mikvar. We always want, if you have a Chumash, you can take a look. I guess we didn't do this. I guess we should have done this. Look at the end of Perek. You have a Chumash in front of you. They're flying around. Or in your Tanakh. Look in the end of Perek Memhei. If you didn't do these are key. The end of Mem, there's no Memhei. Lamedei. Lamedei. The end of Perek Lamedei. Arim Miklat in Bamidbar. There's laws of Arim Miklat.
No, in Perek Mem Hei is Arei Miklat. That's Din Rotzeach. You know Arei Miklat. Cities of refuge. And someone has, at the end of the Parsha, remember what happens if someone goes to Arei Miklat and he's found guilty? He has to be... He has to be punished. But there's a possibility of a great idea. Let's say there's a guy who killed Bemezi. But let's say he's wealthy. And he tells the court, I'll give you $1 million if you hold back my punishment. Let me live. And you can take $1 million, you can build a shul, a yeshiva. Right? It's a win-win. I get to live and you get funding. But if you kill me, sorry, it goes to my kids. Understand? We call that kofer lenefesh rotzeach. Great idea. What's Chumash say? Lachu kofer lenefesh rotzeach. Ashur washalamut. Ki what? Ki mot? Remember? And what would that cause? What's it say? Lo tachnifu? Yeah, read out loud.
Lo tetameh et haaretz.
Listen carefully. Read the whole thing. Lo tetameh et haaretz. Listen to that. You should not defile the land. Asher atem yoshvim ba, asher ani shochem betocha. Continue. But my Shechina is dwelling with you. But if you can get away with murder, if murder is like, if human life is not red, if it's not dear. Remember, we had it, Parshat Noach. Shofech dam adam bedamo dam yishafech. Why? If human beings kill other human beings, and people get away with it and don't go crazy about it, if it's something that's not the most important value in a society, if husbands murder their wives and people drive wildly and cause car accidents, and death is not important to people, and people don't care about human life, that shows they don't understand that there's something godly about every human being. And that's why in Chumash, murder is also a sin between God and man. Lo tirtzach is benam lamakom. It's for sure benam lachavero. But it has an element of benam lamakom. Why? Ki betzelem hi masat adam. Now, therefore, what causes the Shekhinah to be? If you're a nation representing me, asher tem yoshvim ba, asher ani shochem betocha, and there's murder, and people get away with murder, what will happen? Who's leading? Either I'm out of here or you're out of here. There's tumah. Got it? So therefore, each book has Shekhinah leading. Shmot, Avodah Zarah, Vayikra. Got it? Gil Arel, Bamidbar, Shemot Damim. That shouldn't surprise anybody. You never noticed that before? Okay. And Chazal pick up on that right away, don't they? That's the big three. Remember Pilegish B'Gibah, you have all of them? Remember the end of Sefer Shoftim? The big three? Those are the things that you have to be. Why are those the three things that are what? That Yarug V'Yavor? Because those are the things that cause Shekhinah to leave. And the goal is having being with the Shekhinah. So that means that's why they're the fundamental. Now, why do we do all that? Yechezkel is explaining why the Shekhinah left. And we were too close for comfort in Beit Rishon. It didn't work, and when we come back, something has to change. We want you to come back, but we have to realize what we did wrong the first time. Pasuk Yud. I'm sorry, Pasuk Tet. Vata yirachaku etznutam ufigrei malchem yimeni v'shachanti bitocham dolam. Now what will happen? Now when they come back, I want your kings and leaders out of here. You can have leadership, but not next door to me. No more next door neighbors. No more just a wall. No more a situation where it's only a wall between the king and God. Got the idea? And therefore, if you know archaeology in the old city, where the Hasmonean palaces, what part of it? They're in the upper city, not in Harbai. In fact, Pam is a little higher up. But they're on a different hill. They're not next door anymore. That could be for geographical reasons also. Now, listen to Pasuk Yud. And this is, I want to build a whole share on Pasuk Yud. V'ata ben adam, hagered et beit Yisrael et habayit, v'ikamul me'avonotehem. I don't need more than that. What's the purpose of the vision? Not to teach halacha, but to do what? To teach musar. In other words, you give them the most boring shir about measuring and measuring and measuring and being medaktik b'halacha, you follow? Which is very parallel to Jewish law sometimes. Because without being medaktek on every little detail, ask any engineer, ask any architect. Right? You just can't say, oh, I want to build a nice house. You have to have plans. If you're not medaktek on every detail when you build, ask any nutritionist, any doctor. You have great ideas. If you don't follow routine, and don't follow procedure, and don't follow the manual, you just can't say, I have a nice idea. And part of being Jewish means following every little tiny detail, keeping every... I think that's what's behind this whole... It's intentionally three chapters of technical detail. Because if you don't have that
that readiness and willingness to follow the detail and just see, you know, everything will be okay. You're not going to get the message. You won't fix things next time around. But what's the main reason why you have to give them this vision? So they want be kamulev me'avonoteim. You know what that means? Bushu chlima. What's chlima in English? Shame. The people need to know when they come back, there's a reason they were thrown out. And when they come back, they have to know what caused them to leave. So when they come back, they do it right. The goal of Yechezkel is for the people to do proper tshuva and not to tell them how to build. He's not coming as an architect or a posek halacha. He's giving them a vision, and when they hear the vision, what do they need to do? They need to be embarrassed. If that's the case, why is this the day they're giving the vision? Remember, it's the Yovel year. But if I go back something, if I go back, let's go back a little bit. What year in Jewish history was the previous Yovel? If this is year 50, right? What year was year 1? Let's do the Cheshbon. I think we did it like a half a year ago. But I'm sure you forgot by then. The book begins, the book of Yechezkel begins in year 5 of Yehoiakim. You all get lost, but maybe one or two will follow. But simple math. If I had a board, it would be a lot easier. The book begins in year 5 of Galutenu, which is year 30. So what was year 30 being? So take off, it's 25 years since Galut HaYachin. The book begins. How many years was Yehoiakim? 11. So how many years back into Yoshiyahu would it be? Take 25 minus 11. 14. How many years was Yoshiyahu king for? 31. I'm sure you knew that. It's in there. You'll check it out. Right. Take out 14 from 31. 17 or 18. Of course, what's going to be? Year 18 of Yoshiyahu. What happened in year 18 of Yoshiyahu? What did they do? Year 18 of Yoshiyahu is when they found the Sefer Torah. And the whole tshuva moment, that's the greatest tshuva moment since the time of Shmuel. Remember in Divrei Yamim? What I want to show you, tons of detail in Yechezkel follows perfectly with Sefer Divrei Yamim. Why more with Divrei Yamim than with Malachim? Because when was Divrei Yamim written? In Bayit Sheni. It's about Bayit Rishon, but the theme of Divrei Yamim is going to follow Yechezkel, and that's going to solve half our problems in a minute. What are we counting from? This date is significant because it's 50 years since Rishit Tzvichat Gulatenu. That we talked about with Yirmiyahu also. When Yoshiel begins his reform and Ashur fell, there's this messianic fervor. It's all over. Things are great again. And remember before in Menashe, how bad things were? And Menashe, I tried to explain, that was Churban Bayit Rishon. When Ashur comes and takes over, for all intents and purposes, that's the end of the First Temple period. And that's what Yeshayahu foresaw. Yeshayahu ends with, it's over. He talks about returning at the end. But he sees, and Menashe the king goes into exile. Menashe destroyed the temple. Remember, he closed it down. He built an Assyrian temple there instead. At the end of his life, he comes back, he does a little bit of tshuva, and Yoash ruins it again. But the king who turned everything around, who brought the exiles back, and was hoping this was be it, that was Yoshiel. And year 18, remember, they had the whole gathering, they had the big Korban Pesach, great reform, and this is it. And everyone's hoping we're in Bayit Sheni now. And they were sure this is it, and would never be destroyed again. But what happened? They returned to the temple, they returned to serving God, and then we saw all this in Yirmiyahu. But the key, they didn't do proper tshuva. They were still corrupt, and they fixed up the temple, but not the society. Yeah? I'll do it this simple way. Year 18 of Yoshiel is what? Year 18 of Yoshiel is year 1. Okay? He reigns 31 years.
And so therefore... That's the year he finds as we start?
That's when they find the Sefer Torah. I'm assuming you knew that. Year 18... Oh, come on. That's a famous one. No. It's before us. It's a pasuk. And Divrei Yamim and Malachim. Year 18 is when they find the Sefer Torah. He begins his reform in year 12. That's the... Divrei Yamim begins the reform in year 12, and Malachim doesn't mention year 12, which is the beginning of Yirmiyahu. But they both say year 18. They find the Sefer Torah, and he turns around, and Chodesh says it's impossible. Remember, she's playing the devil's advocate, and Yoshiel makes a new brit. They make a whole big deal about it. They clean up the temple. They make a whole another Korban Pesach. And that's the beginning of hope that everything will be great again. But it fell apart, and that was a tragedy of Yirmiyahu. And the people went into exile, or the people who were
when they were young, at least, they remember that year. It's the anniversary. It's the anniversary of year 18. Whether it's Yovel or Nisiv is less important. It's the 50th anniversary, or the Yovel anniversary, of our great hopes of Rosh Hashanah Golotenu. Where most of the people are thinking, what? What would the normal people say? Remember, this is the first time we're in exile, for good. And the temple is destroyed. That's what Yechezkel is fighting, that people have given up hope. I have to repeat our main point from the last three shiurim. Is Yechezkel's main purpose was to make sure the people in exile don't say game over. And the reason why they'll think game over is because all the rabbis told them that it will never happen. The main message they got from all the rabbis was, remember, it can't be. And that's why they wanted to kill Yirmiyahu. And here we have a nation that was exiled, and what all the rabbis told them backfired. And because they were so sure it can't happen, and that's what they were educated with, as soon as it does happen, they're going to reach one conclusion: God left his people, or God doesn't exist, or everything's gone. That's why Yechezkel had to be on record. Remember, that was exactly the first 24 chapters. God tells him, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to tell them, they're not going to listen to you, but you have to be on record, because when it happens, then they'll know that there was a Nabi in their midst. And that's why he has to get their attention, and all these amazing visions, so it's ingrained in them. And then they'll realize there was a Nabi. And Yechezkel has to make sure that the people don't give up hope and say Judaism is over, and that they're the future. And they have to be ready for a long exile, up to the 70 years. They have to bring up the next generation. They have to build a society and a community. They have to build a shul, remember, not to live in tents. They have to build a community and be ready to return when the time is right, but be worthy of returning. That's what they need a Navi for. And in order to get that message across, the Navi has to give messages which shock people and strange and get their attention. Anyone in education knows that. If a teacher comes in with a boring class, if a teacher comes in with like a really cool story, if a rabbi starts a speech with a story, everyone's listening. If it's a good story. If he comes in teaching halachot, they're... If it's a weekday, they're texting. If it's not, they're reading something else. They're reading the Sexeter now. They have something good to read. What I want to show you now is what Yechezkel is going to do to get the people to do tshuva. What's going to vision begin? Let's take a look again at the pasuk. We're in Perek, again, Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud, Vata Ben Adam, Hagein Al Beit Yisrael Habayit, Vikamu Me'avonoteihem, U'Menudu Et HaTochnit. Got it? By measuring, it's all right there, by measuring the floor plans for the temple, what's it going to do? It'll remember them. Like, let's say you're running a camp program. What do they do? You build a model, Mishkan, you build a middle of Mikdash, and then you have all the thing. And the kids spend all their time involved in detail. But what's the educational message if it's done right? Look what happened, and let's understand why this happened. Take the flip side. When God wants the Shekhinah to return, in Shemot, God says he declares his attributes of mercy on Yom Kippur, doesn't he? And then they start for 6 months. They have to build the Mishkan, and even though Moshe asked Yelech Nashem Birkevenu, even though we're on Kshei Oref, after God declares them, what's God say? I'm not coming back right away. You have to prove to me you want to come back. How do you do that? Build a Mishkan. Work with details. Do a project. Do a collective project. And that will express those actions, express your inner feelings. The whole world of mitzvot works that way. By doing actions, by doing mitzvot, that's how you express your feelings. Look at the Rambam at the end of Hilchot, the end of Sefer Megillah, the end of Sefer Megillah, the end of Sefer Avodah, and Korbanot. In the bottom, he talks about the main purpose of mitzvot, that machshavot are guided through the actions that we do. But the purpose of all the mitzvot is to clarify and strengthen our thoughts, so we think properly. Because you just can't think about it, you have to do something. You can't just say, I'm sorry, you have to buy flowers, you have to present them. You can't say, Rabbi, you did a great job, you have to make a testimonial dinner. You need to do actions to express your feelings. Why ask an anthropologist? Then, look at Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'im nichlamu mikol asher asu. If they really have shame and sorry for what they did, then what? Tzurat ha'bayit, tchunato, motzavim, bo'av, tzorotav, chukukatav, chukukatav, tzorotav, odalotam. God, my point? It's an educational tool to get people to be ashamed. And what do you have to do? I remember growing up, I don't think I do anymore. A kid was bad in class, right? He was chewing gum. What did he have to do? What was his assignment? Write 100 times, I'm not going to chew gum in class anymore. The only one still does this is Bart Simpson. But you guys still watch him? Doesn't he do that? Kidding? No. Why did teachers do that? I think it worked. I don't think they do it anymore. Kids control the class. When you do something almost ridiculous, right, in detail, over and over and over again, you remember it. And that's my point, that if I'm going to find an apparent contradiction, what Yechezkel is going to see in this vision, the purpose of this vision is to inspire the people, to give them hope, but also to make them shameful for the past, so that, not to the point that they give up, but to the point that they want to do better the next time. And then I don't have a problem if I find a contradiction. We'll try to deal with the contradictions, but I want to solve the problem before it starts. Okay? Now look what happens next in Pasuk Yudchet. Elu mit ha-mizbeach, he goes on. Pasuk Yudchet. V'imre ilai ben adam, komar Hashem, elu chot ha-mizbeach, v'chulei. Pasuk Yudchet. Matata lakonim alevim asherim bizarat salok ha-krovim alai, nu Hashem, v'shorteni. Par ben bakar lachatat. Lachat v'idamo v'natata. There's a special korban that he brings. Now. Pasuk ha-bet. V'yom ha-shini. תקריב סיריזים תמים, לחטאת וחיטו את המזבח אשר חיטו בפר, ובכל מחטא תקריב פר בבקר תמים, והיו מן הצון תמים. There's going to be, on the day that they finish building the Mikdash, what do we have to bring? A special korban. What's the logic? Why bring a special korban, a חטאת and עולה? Do we have a precedent for that? That's חנוכת הבית, the מילואים. And we'll see that in the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is going to say is, what Yechezkel is talking about is not korbanot, day-to-day korbanot, there'll be korbanot of the miluim. Why? Because when you're starting something fresh and new, just like with the first Mishkan. And why do I need miluim? If I follow the Mishkan after Chetayegel, why do I need the korbanot miluim? Right? Especially on Yom HaShmini, remember when we bring the Egel? It's because of Chetayegel, I need to bring a korban that reminds me of my sins. Now, here's a difficult one. Pasuk Chafei. Shivat Yamin, just like the Miluim, Tase Ser Chatat Layom, Upar Ben Bakar Vayal Bin Atzon, Tmimim Yasu. Shivat Yamin Mechapro Ala Mizbech, Vitiroto Milu Yado, Vechlu Tehamin, Vayu Ben Shiva Hala, Yasu Akonim Ba Mizbech, Atatol Dechem. There's no doubt, isn't it? The Korban he's talking about, it's a little different than the 7 days of Miluim, but the format is the same. A Chatat and Ola, a Chatat and Ola, Vechaper Ala Am, which animal, you'll see why the animals change a little bit, but the idea that I have to spend 7 days after it's built and make a special korban to show that we're starting something new, that's not a new halakha. What's that? That's parallel to miluim. That's a horat shah, a chadpami thing, which makes sense. If what they actually brought in the time of Ezra, they do something similar. Yeah.
You're dealing with the korbanos. Also,
so I'll explain what the korban is. That's why I wanted you to have your chumash. I want to follow chumash for a minute. I want to appreciate what korban we're going to have. I want to just review what happens in Sefer Shmot to understand the 7 days of Miluim.
I wonder, can you expand this to the Kohanim?
Why the Kohanim?
The different halachas for the Kohanim.
We'll see in a minute.
Okay.
In Chumash, we have like this. We come out of Egypt, we get to Torah on Mount Sinai. And God's Shekhinah is on the mountain. That's simple. Hashem Yoreda Har Sinai, there's eight, there's Yanan, the Shekhinah is there. While Moshe is on Har Sinai with the Shekhinah getting the Torah for 40 days and 40 nights, back down below we have Chet Ha'egel. Moshe comes down, breaks the Luchot, and God tells him, no, Moshe prays not to destroy them, not to start over, but rather give them another chance. But God says, in the meantime, I'm not coming with you. God's Shekhinah leaves. It's Michutz Lamachaneh. And where's Moshe's tent now? Michutz Lamachaneh, outside. Until 6 months later, they finish building the Mishkan, and Sefer Shemot ends with the Shekhinah returning. When the Shekhinah returns, we need to do something symbolic to show that we want the Shekhinah back. Okay? Look in Parshat Shmini. Parshat Shmini, the first 4 or 5 lines is enough. There's seven, we'll go back to the 7 days, but you have to understand the 8th day to appreciate the 7 days beforehand. Because it's a very similar korban. What I want to do, let me give an introduction to what I want to do now. I want to explain why specifically this is on Yom Kippur. Why would Yom Kippur be the day to give this nevuah in this vision? If I understand what happens on Yom Kippur, what Yom Kippur is about in Chumash, I want to show you how Yom Kippur is the Yom HaShmini. And then even though what happens in Yom HaShmini is what we do in Yom Kippur. It sounds a little tedious, but it's really not that hard. I want to try and keep it simple. But I want to begin with the end. Look what happens in Yom HaShmini. Okay, you have it? Vayi Yom HaShmini. Everyone have it? Perek Tet in Sefer Vayikra. Korah Moshe. to all the elders of Israel and the whole nation. And what's he tell them? First he tells Aaron to do what? What's Aaron have to bring? He has to bring a chatat and an olah. I don't care yet what animal. He has to bring a parla chatat and an ayol olah. But Aaron has to bring a korban. Why a chatat? Unless he's done something wrong. Why an olah? It's a standard. I'm sorry and thank you. Now. And then Bnei Yisrael have to bring a korban. What do they bring? They bring a sir lachatat and an ayol olah. Understand? Chatat korban? Bnei Yisrael bring a sir lachatat and an ayol olah, and Aaron brings a parla chatat and an ayol olah. Does that ring a bell? Were you guys in show exactly a month ago? That's Yom Kippur. The only other time you have, the only other instance, when you have this duo, where the nation of Israel brings a korban, preceded by the Kohen Gadol bringing a korban, and each korban being a chatat and olah, that's exactly Yom Kippur. That's Avodat Yom Kippur. Remember, that's going to be exactly the Avodat Yom Kippur. What's that indicating? That the purpose of the Avodah on Yom Kippur is parallel to the purpose of the Korbanot of Yom HaShmini. Is that clear? That should be simple, but that should be, it should be obvious. If I want to appreciate the Korbanot, which are really strange on Yom Kippur, if I want to appreciate what they're about, the source of that Korban, if I want to appreciate what the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur about, I have to realize it's the same purpose as the Korbanot of Yom HaShmini. Now, read Pasuk Daled. Read Daled for me. You have it? Who's reading? Someone in the back there, read. Someone read? Yeah, read. He's Bo. Got it? Why do we have to bring these korbanot? Ki hayom Hashem nira lechem. Now, I can explain this the Buddha way. That in order for God to reappear, what do we need to do? We have to do this magic potion. These animals. God, we have to make them a nice shmorg. Right? And everyone's got to prepare. And then presto, bring them back. Or, God wants to come back because we've reformed. But what? He's ready to come back. We're ready. We need to do something to show that we want him. It's like I gave the example before that when you go to someone's house for Shabbat, you can't come empty-handed. Lo yirup and lo yikum. But you're not going to bring them a bottle of wine. You're going to be with them. I want to be close, but I have to bring something that reflects my relationship. That should be simple. And therefore I have a choice of what, I bring something significant. But the main reason I'm bringing the Korban, it's the same reason I'm bringing, a housewarming gift or something. I'm not going as a delivery boy. I'm going to be with somebody. You can't come empty handed. Remember, lo yiru p'nei ricam. You don't, remember, God doesn't need to receive, you need to bring. Talking about halacha. Let's say safik hashecha, safik edach hashecha, you know what that means? Erev Shabbat, and you're going to someone's house, and you forgot to buy flowers or a bottle of wine. Right? Do we stop and buy or not? It's late. Right? What's the wife paskin? Hide the watch, right? Isn't it? It's pikuach nefesh. I mean, you can't come empty-handed. Am I right? I think I'm right. Because it's embarrassing. And because you can't come in front of God empty-handed. But I don't bring a bag of potatoes. I bring something significant. I'll bring flowers, I'll bring wine, I'll bring chocolate or something. That's chocolate. No, it's chocolate that the host is allergic to. That's a korban shlamim. But you're supposed to pretend you know he was allergic. That's all. Now, the parallel is clear? Read two more lines. Pasuk Hey. Moshe gathers the people together. That's God to Moshe Rabbeinu. Continue, Pasuk Hey. Here's what you need to do because why? Because God's coming, you have to bring a korban. Not for God to come, you have to bring a korban. Because God's coming, you have to bring the korban. Now, what happens in Yom Kippur? The same idea. Remember the idea of Shekhinah, we're close to God? What's going to represent the Shekhinah returning? In the Mikdash. But if I want to do something symbolic in the Mishkan, remember the Mishkan is a mini Mount Sinai, isn't it? That I hope I don't have to prove. That's Ramban. Everything in the Mishkan, is all the imagery of Har Sinai, is the same idea. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes to the Holy Kodesh Kodeshim, He's not going in to feed God. Is the Kohen going in to bring a korban, or is he bringing a korban to go in? You familiar with that, Chakira? The Kohen Gadol is not going in to bring a korban. B'zot yavol Aron HaKodesh, right? The Kohen Gadol is going to go in. But because I don't deserve to go in, I need to do something symbolic to show God, thank you for allowing me to come in. And I need to show God that I need protection, or kapara, that you're giving me an opportunity that I'm not deserving of. Now, who does the Kohen Gadol represent? What's he, remember, he's got the 12 tribes up here. He's got the Kohen Gadol represents the nation of Israel. What does the Kodesh Kodeshim represent? Har Sinai. On Yom Kippur, we're reliving Mamad Har Sinai. Remember, Vayal Moshe, the people stand. Remember, when Moshe goes up on Har Sinai, who's allowed in? Who else can go up on Har Sinai? Moshe and everybody else? Give me the pasuk. On a fast day, eh? What?
Essentially,
Bezdin. Yeah.
The parallel is not just in
Gilui Shechina,
but on
Hara.
Because the
same idea. And there's Madrigo. There's the Kohanim HaNigashim, who come closer, and the Am, and the Chatzer, with the Mizbeach. What's at the bottom of Har Sinai? There's a Mizbeach with Olot and Shlamim. That's why Yom HaShmini, there's Olot and Shlamim. But Yom Kippur, we fast, so there's no Shlamim. But what we're doing is, we're doing something symbolic, and the Kohen Gadol going in is going to be like going on Har Sinai. It's like going... like Am Yisrael standing in Har Sinai. And the Kohen Gadol is like Moshe Rabbeinu, going up. What does Moshe walk into on Har Sinai? That's Tani Red Chomesh. What? Into a cloud, right? And what do the people perceive? Umarek Kvod Hashem, Ke'esh Ochele Brosh Ahar, Leinei B'nei Yisrael. What do we do to reenact that? The Kohen Gadol brings in Eish Be'am Yisbeach, and he makes Anan Ktoret. And therefore, you understand the imagery? Because we have to remember in Yom Kippur that we want to relive Mamad Har Sinai. But the day that we choose to relive Mamad Har Sinai is not Shavuot, because that one didn't work. Because in order for us to be able to relive Mamad Har Sinai, what attributes does God have to have? Because we're human, because we're an Am Kshei Oref, in order for us to be able to go to the mountain and not die right away, remember? Achrei Mot Shnei B'nei Aaron? Because when you're so close to the Shekhinah, you have to be really on your toes. And because we're an Am Kshei Oref, and that's pretty much given. We don't deserve it. We need to show God we need protection. We're getting something we don't deserve. And hence the word, remember, kapara means protection. Remember like the teva, the chafarta oto? A protective cover is kapara. I'm sure we've done that show before. And therefore Yom Kippur is all about reliving Mamad Har Sinai, but not just reliving the connection, recognizing we're getting something we're not deserving of. It was to understand we're in this lopsided relationship. And by bringing a korban, I'm showing that I'm getting something I'm not deserving of, but something I really want. And again, humans express themselves through actions. And therefore, the korban that we bring on Yom Kippur, and the korban that leads up to it, remember, what did we do for 7 days beforehand? The 7 days beforehand, the Kohen brings a parlechata and an ayolola. And Am Yisrael always brings a silachata. That we know why. Why does Am Yisrael always bring a silachata? As a nation, when the nation of Israel comes, every korban musaf is always a silachata, isn't it? Why a Seir? There's 10 chapters in Chumash to explain why we bring a Seir. Because Yosef and his brothers. The 10 tribes sin, don't they? The symbol of collective sin, of Sinat Achim Lishma, Lechatchila. Right? This tribe doesn't belong. Remember, he's leftist, right, whatever you want to call them. Right? Yosef, he's pushing the envelope, Yosef. What they call Masal Seba Saro, we call pushing the envelope. No, Yosef is different. Now, there's good reasons to hate Yosef. And Chumis, the whole, that's just, and what do the brothers do to cover up their sin? By Shchatu Ata Seir, by Pulat Ektonet Badam, that's Ektonet, don't be surprised, it's make a big deal about Ektonet. And we need to do something to remind ourselves of that sin. And whenever the nation, what are our national holidays? That's Parsha Pinchas. Our national holidays, whenever the nation gathers together as a nation, and meets and talks, etc., what do we have to remember? The sin of Yosef and his brothers, and not just that, the lesson they learn, the whole topic of tshuva that comes with the story, and how God talks to you through events. And therefore, the specific korban is also significant. And therefore, whenever Am Yisrael, consistently, whenever the nation of Israel brings a korban, it's always going to be a selah chatat. Whenever the leader brings a korban, asher nasiach, or when you have a kohen sinning, then you bring a par. So sometimes I'll find a par l'chatat, sometimes a sir l'chatat. A sir for the nation. That's why Yom Kippur, there's two sirim. Remember? The piyut in Yom Kippur with the 10 martyrs. Eilas Krav. How does it begin? Why does it begin with Chirat Yosef? God was sleeping for 2,000 years? But why? Chazal gave a different reason. Why Beit Sheni fell and why Bar Berchofa failed. Why? Shelo nagu kavod zeh bazeh and Bar Berchofa. They didn't honor each other, even though they're great rabbis and teachers. Beit Sheni, Sinat Achim, Sinat Chinam. Where was Am Yisrael warned about Sinat Chinam? That's what half of Bereshit is about. That's the story of Yosef and his brothers. And what's the symbol of that? The Seir L'Chatat. And therefore, you bring the Seir L'Chatat. Now, we don't have a temple today, but we have this takon about davening, Musaf. And we mention the Korban. But when you mention the Korban, it's not a technicality. If you know Chumash, when you mention the Korban, you understand what you're supposed to think about. And don't tell me we don't need to remember the message of Yosef today. Now, back to... all I try to show you is that the Avodah of Yom Kippur is key because we need to show God we want Shekhinah to return and we have to understand why it left. And if I understand the stories behind the Korbanot I'm bringing, it's not voodoo in the technicality. There's meaning to our actions. And if the purpose of Yechezkel's vision is for the people to be ashamed, then what he's doing is going to be significant. Now back to, my main point is, the main significance is being tedious. And learning something, sitting and learning something tedious and following procedure. Which is the real world of halacha. Now back to Yechezkel. Two other things and then we're on the back page, aren't we? What page are we on? Oh, Mem Dalet, I'm sorry. Perek Mem Dalet in Yechezkel. Vayvenu derech shar tzafon apnei abayit v'ra v'nei malek v'ra Hashem. Hashem, he sees God Shechina, he falls on his face. And he says, listen to all the things again. Pasuk Vav. Have it? Perek Mem Dalet, Pasuk Vav. V'mata el med Mary, Beit Yisro. You know what Mary is here? What religion is this one? Mary means, remember Shimon HaMorim? What's Mary here? Beit HaMary are you rebellious people. Yechezkel in the beginning, he says a lot. And the whole is opening. Like Shimon HaMorim. Listen, you rebellious people. Kol Marshem, Rav Lechem Kol Mikotov Etem Beit Yisrael. Enough of your, too much of these toivot. What did you do wrong? Be'aviyachem b'nei nechar ar leilev or leil basar liot b'mikdashi l'chalot b'iti b'achvem l'achmi chela b'dam v'yathirot b'iti et kol tovatayim. Who is bringing korbanot? People who were uncircumcised. Is that true? The Kohanim were circumcised. They had a kosher bris. Right? But what? What's he call them? Not everyone knows in Arel Basar can't bring a korban. But why were the korbanot tamei in Beit Rishon? Because they were ar leilev.
Did you say that both brought them?
What? I don't think he means they, like go and bring the korbanot. I think he's using it in the analogy. Those are the two people who can't bring, but he's comparing them. No. In Chassidut, Orlat Lev is cool. Because Orla is taking away the cover. It's like a Chassidut Shavuot, Rav Mital always used to say. Is that the question is to return to God, do you have to create the generator? Or is the generator in you and you have to uncover the klipa? Got the idea in Chassidut? The idea in Chassidut is what's called klipas. Klipas is a covering. So the generator's there. It's in your heart. The reason why it's not working is because it's suffocated. Now, if you want to get the generator, I don't have to build a generator. What I need to do? I need to laser the klipot. Yeah, the rest is Chassidut. Well, that's the way of tshuva. What? Yeah, umala lepachem. He's building for sure on which Matemet Lavrat Avchem? That's in Vayikra or in Dvarim? Matemet Lavrat, that's going to be in Dvarim, is it? In Nitzavim? In Farshat Tetshuva? Yeah. Or it's in Dalet or in Dalet. In the first one. Now, back to... I got the idea. And why do you use Milat Lev? Because the Brit with Am Yisrael is Brit Milah. The Lut Lachal Elohim is Brit Milah. And taking the analogy of Brit Milah to Orlat Halev. Then go again to Pasuk Tet. Now, Kol Mar Hashem, Kol Ben Echar, Abrel Lev, Arav, Basar, Lev, Avod, Mikdashi, Kol Ben Echar, V'kulei. Who came Elavim Asher, Chokum, Be'elai, Bitot Yisrael, he blames the leadership, who were bad, and instead, who's going to come? Only the ones who, Pasuk Tet, V'akonim, Ha'levim, B'nei Tzadok, Asher Shamrut, Mishmer, Mikdashi, Bitot, B'nei Sam, Elai, Hem, Yikruvo, Elai. To be worthy to come back, you have to be from the right family, the people who are
who were dedicated. Now, then he has a whole bunch of halachot here, which are almost all of them are the same as in Chumash. A couple of small changes, and again, unfortunately, we don't have Al Hanani Ben Gurion. 95% are the same. We have probably the Big Dekuna a little bit, and the way most Parshim understand is these are Chumrot for Bayit Sheni. Follow? Now, why do you need Chumrot? One direction is these are, what do you call it? These are, you know, Elio has to solve them. But I'll give the example of the classic Chumrah, which I think makes a lot of sense. It says what? In Chumash it says a kohen can't marry a grusha but can marry an amanah. And the Peskel says a kohen can not marry a grusha and an amanah. Is it over here? It should be here. Pasuk is it? Yeah, Pasuk. That's not changing the halacha. That's adding a little caveat. But you can marry an amanah, but only an amanah from a kohen. No. So Yechezkel isn't saying that that's the new halacha and we're changing chumash. It could be that he's saying in Bayit Sheni we're going to add an extra chumrah. The road of chumrah works that way. Chumash says this thing. Chumash says, you know, don't eat milk and meat, and we add 6 hours to be extra sure. Why can't Yechezkel do the Rabbanan, number one? That doesn't mean you're changing chumash. That's the main. But he's not saying it's no halacha. But what's the reason why people take on chumrah? What's the famous chumrah with the nazir? Remember, a person is challenged. He sees he can't do the regular way, right? And therefore, he takes upon himself a chumrah to make sure. Remember, you take yourself to a certain extreme. The whole world of chumrah work when I've done something wrong, I'm bad, and for rehab, I have to take upon myself a new stringency. And it works. It works. It could work if it's done right.
You're making a navi into a...
Into a navi.
No, into a
rabbi.
Into a bezdin.
What?
Into a bezdin and acting the rabbanans. That's what I'm hearing. Is that what you mean?
I'm not saying, I'm explaining, wait, I'm explaining what almost all, what Radak explains.
Can you give me this
listen, Rashi follows the Shita time, Eliel will come and explain. Okay. Radak says, all these chumrot, he says they're not new laws, they're chumrot.
Are I'm saying the status of Dinder Abanan is
from what?
It's not just Yeheskel.
Yeah?
These are transcribed from Hashem. It's a different type of chumrot that Hashem's telling you to do.
But who says... It could be that Shem Sari Gimel Machmer, what's so bad about that? That could be. That's important than a rabbi.
These chumras have the status of Dinder Rabbanan.
How they paskin, we don't know. They don't bring this halacha, do they? Elio maybe will come and paskin. Well, all I'm getting is one thing. I'm not telling you my opinion here, I'm saying what Chazal said. They're saying that these are chumrot. Got it? What I want to explain is why there's logic to making chumrot. If the purpose of the vision is to have shame from your sin, remember your mistake. In day-to-day Judaism, things like that require chumrot. Don't
you're
they?
You're calling it Horan Shah.
That's what Chazal called. But no, Horan Shah is only one type thing. But this could be a kavua, this can be the Rabbanan for later. But we don't pass in this way anyhow. We don't pass in the halacha that a kohen can't marry an amanah. They can't marry a amanah, except from a kohen. It might have been a takana to make sure that amanot from kohenim got married. It could be more for a practical one. I think that's why it's more or less. That's why I think it is. Because there's so many amanot, and amanot from Bukhoin can't marry stam anybody. So to make sure the amanot from Kohanim, as a tribal takana, they said, Kohanim can only marry other amanot from Kohanim, to make sure that the amanot from Kohanim have a bigger pool to pick from. Yeah. And after Chorban, it makes sense, something like that. Yeah.
Is Yechezkel saying this from himself, or is he reporting what's happening?
This is the vision that God showed us.
Yeah. It's a vision. He's not reporting what at that time happened that they made a...
No. He's saying, here's the vision he saw, and he quotes his halachot. I'm not saying I have an answer, but I'm saying I'm giving different directions that people gave. Yeah.
I mean, how does this chumrah relate to a problem that Kol Yisrael was doing? In other words, what I'm hearing you say is that the chumrah is to roll back or to relate to something that was going on.
Yeah.
Okay,
I want to say one thing. There's two approaches to the differences. One is Eliyahu come and solve them. The other is these are chumrot. That's not my idea. That's in Chazal. So, what I'm trying to explain in my share, why it's logical that these are chumrot. That's all I'm saying. Even if they're divine chumrot. Even if God's telling Yechezkel to machmir. I'm not talking about the source. What I'm saying is because we have a history, and Am Yisrael is a nation sin. And we want them to return, but we want them to realize the shame. That's Vayikamu Be'avonotehem.
Because the vision is to get the people not to know how to build the temple, but to get the people to be shameful, to do proper repentance, so they'll be worthy of the temple, it could be that part of this vision includes extra stringencies that will hopefully will fix what they did wrong. Now, your question is good. How does not marrying another almana make right, you know, help anything?
Some of it would be about, problematic.
But that's always with every chumrah. So how to make sure you do something extra, and you have to remember what the reason is for. And that's why I have all the other things that with it. Yeah.
So with all, besides here, there's also a difference in the measurements and all that things. So is, I guess, a take-home message that whatever they were doing, whatever the 300 measures of oil were, each one in detail, like what specifically...
That's what I'm saying. The detailed thing, that's why I compare. I take comparison. It's like writing I won't chew gum 100 times on the board.
No, but...
That's not teaching composition. That's teaching a Musar.
But presumably there's some connection beyond just, more,
But no one thought, as I'm showing you, no one in Baishin, they didn't take this as a blueprint. That was the word. It's not the blueprint for building the temple. And you can't make a blueprint from these deals. They try in the back of the books, they have all these different blueprints. It's not written for an architect.
But you still got to have some specific purpose beyond just being different and beyond just being competitive, right?
But I'm saying, I'm assuming they might have meaning. It's hard to find meaning in all these details. I think the meaning is simply in the tedious detail. And I gave a little muster there because that's the road of halakha. Isn't that the road we're living in? We have all these great ideas. Being Jewish means following halakha every tedious detail. Keeping Shabbat is tedious detail. Now, there's no connection between the great themes of Shabbat and the tedious details. Spitting out watermelon pits and things like that and all that. You spend all your time, 99% of Shabbat have nothing to do with the big theme of Shabbat. But if you didn't have the tedious detail, you wouldn't have Shabbat. If you just take the theme of Shabbat and say, what a beautiful idea, everyone decide on their own how to do it, it wouldn't last thousands of years. But because of the Chod Shabbat and all their intricacies, we have Shabbat. So I'm saying there's a connection between keeping tedious details with they don't have an apparent reason, right? And to keep the bigger thing going.
But can we understand that Chaim and Chizkiah had an apparent reason for each one?
It could be, yeah, but we... he said, Bavoteinu Rabbi, which is a great line. We don't have his answers. It's because of Bavoteinu Rabbi, we have the stirot. Okay, that's all. Again, I'm not coming to solve every single stirot. My goal this year is to give a background why I don't need to solve the stirot. Because the main purpose is not, it's not halachot that he's changing. The main thing, it's a vision that's supposed to get people to wake up and feel remorse. And through that vision, hopefully they'll be ready for a proper return. Yeah, quickly, because
Doesn't the Torah provide us with guidelines of Rezin and Ushet? And that would be to his elder on the Lord Tigre. If he tells them you no longer have to observe, so. But it's not it doesn't apply to the Tosifu.
The biggest pasuk that Chazal have, the problem the rabbis have, there's a pasuk in Dvarim, says, all these mitzvot lo tosif, lo tigrav. You can't add, you can't take off. So they say, four parshat mitzvot instead of five, or two mitzvot l'ador instead of one. They limit it to, they narrow what it means not adding. Because if they took that literally, we'd be in great shape. What?
What are the guidelines? How do we know that a Rabbi who comes to tell us that the he's in a Rabbi Sheker?
Oh, so the God, a Navi Sheker, but let's work the backside. If a Navi makes predictions and they're always right, that doesn't make him a Navi. You have to work, make sure you understand the opposite. Right? What makes a Navi is not the guy with the best track record in making predictions. A Navi is someone, follows the Rambam, who has all the qualifications of a Navi. Who's a Adam Yashar and Tamim and Yodea, as good as could be. And he, someone like that, someone like Rav Lichtenstein, says, God gave me a Nevuah. Okay, I'm buying. But some Joe Schmo, right, comes and says, I got Nevoah, don't need, a stump bum off the street says, God appeared to me in a vision, that's not a Navi, no matter what he says, even if he makes 100 predictions to come true. Understand that he's the best stock analyst, right? 20 years straight, return. That doesn't make him a Navi Emet. Once I have a Navi Emet, how can he be apostle, right? So if he goes something, if he says there's two gods instead of one, if he accepts someone's mikros, if he does something that's against Torah, so that's it's not a shaker. Now, what Yechezkel was canonized. Chazal accepted Yechezkel, didn't they? Which means Chazal understood this Nabi Emet. You can't negate the Torah, and therefore they have to conclude this doesn't negate Torah. What I'm trying to explain to you is why this doesn't negate Torah, because no one passed in this way, in Bayit Sheni.
We said that in the Rambam as well. But Yechezkel himself says the purpose of his vision is to cause shame. To cause shame and thing and details. Yechezkel is not talking as a halachas. He's not coming as a Navi telling these are new halachot. He's telling the people through this vision, be embarrassed. Now, how this causes embarrassment, you can argue. Why? I'm giving the overall framework. And therefore, I understand that maybe it's stringency. And sometimes the stringency doesn't always relate, doesn't relate to, let's say you do something wrong. So I'm going to wait now 6 hours and 2 minutes instead of 5 hours. You follow? Because I did something. Now, waiting extra hours is going to make you a better person? No. But remembering that I took on the stringency reminds me of what I did wrong. There's not every chumrah, does the chumrah itself relate exactly what you did wrong? But by taking on a chumrah, I remember that I did something wrong. And by taking on that chumrah, I remember what the reason I took the chumrah was for. Okay? It's like a little reminder. When I tie a string around my finger, right? The string has no meaning. But the fact I did something different, I'll remember to make a bank deposit. Yeah. Yeah, quickly. Yeah. Yeah.
We go through all time, right?
Yeah, but we don't pass it that way. There was no one takes the cheskel as psak halacha. No, how did they do? Take it? They deal with it. I suggest one possible reason. I'm not saying I'm right, but it's a possibility. Once he says that, you can suggest reasons. The main direction Chazal have one is Eliyahu Navi, which means we have no idea, but he'll come and solve it one day. We have belief he'll solve it. The other is these are chumrot. Those are two directions. That's all.
How do you know it wasn't
followed by Yeshua?
How do you know about that?
We don't find any record of it. I don't know it wasn't, but the fact it didn't continue.
You do have a record of it.
Halacha didn't follow that, right?
I didn't know.
I don't know for sure. I'm assuming it wasn't, because if there's halacha by Yeshua, it should be halacha in the Gemara. And if it should be halacha today.
Nobody takes the stuff from the Cheskel for Baishim.
My goal is not to prove they didn't pass in this way. I can bring a riot they didn't pass in that way, the fact that the halacha didn't return it, because if they passed it by Cheskel, it would make sense they continued after the Qurban. We know they didn't, because it's not Mitzvah Halacha today.
Maybe they did, and then when the fine fell, they reversed.
I'm not coming to prove they didn't. I'm just coming to say I have a support that they didn't. That's all. I can't prove 100% for sure. And that's not the topic is to prove they didn't do it. I'm just trying to show where they go. Now, I want to do one last thing, but I want to give an example of how we can solve something. We're in Vandalid. Okay, let's go to the back page. Here's a strange Qurban, and here I wanna get to what I wanna add. Something I came up with thanks to this here. Here. Pasuk Tet, Perek Chaf Mem Hei Pasuk Tet. What were they doing wrong? This is classic. This is towards the end, and this is important. Komar Hashem. Why do we need these chumrot? Komar Hashem. Ram lecha nisi'ei Yisrael. In a minute, the nisi is going to have to bring an extra korban. Now, the biggest change coming up now, which bothers everybody, is these extra korbanot that the nisi has to bring. The nisi is always a leader. Ram lecha nisi'ei Yisrael means, remember Rav Lecha Menei Levi? Chamas v'shod hasiru, mishpat v'stakasu. It's only a line here, but that's the underlying theme of Nevi Machronim. Right? And that's the main thing that has to happen. But to remember that, I have to do something. I have to tie a string around my finger. Understand? Again, Pasuk Tet, in Perek Mem Bet. Rav lechem nisei Yisrael, chamas v'shod hasiru, mishpat v'stakasu. Hevrimu gushnatecha mi'al aminu l'ashem. Mos neitzerek, ifat tzerek, ubat tzerek, yelachem, ifat babat v'chulet. And then right away he goes into details again. Got the idea? He gives a big theme, and then here, go back to more details again. And then we have about the Truma, everything coming. Now look carefully. Pasuk Yutet. Komar Hashem. Barishon Dechad HaChodesh. See, this is not Rosh Hashanah. This is in the first month, which is Nisan, on the first day of the month. Everyone holds this Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Just like the first Miluim. Tikach Pa Bar Berkat Tamim V'Kitei Tet HaMikdash. Kein Tester B'Shiva HaChodesh Mish Kshogei U'Peti V'Kipata Malavai. It's clear that's Miluim. As Hashem mentioned, Gemara in Memhei and I should have read that. In Memhei. If you want to write it down, the source. In Memhei, there's a Memhei Menachot, Amar Aleph. They bring all the questions, they bring the case. You know, what we learn from all these things. So this one day, as Eliyahu is going to come and solve it, can't resolve them. And Rabbi Levi comes and says, no, Milim, Hikribu, B'mei Ezra. In the beginning, by Cheney, these were Miluim. Miluim meaning, it was, The Gemara brings the Deya, which is the second Deya, which is, seems to be the maskana of the Gemara, is that what Yecheskel is talking about is not eternal korbanot, but rather one-time korbanot, which are like the miluim. And I tried to show you in the shir, miluim is in the technicality. Miluim is a result of fixing a sin. Now, I want to bring a proof from Bayit Rishon that Yecheskel isn't coming up with anything new. Pasachat here. V'chein taseh b'shiva l'chodesh, mishul yam yibeti, v'chein tal habayit. בראשון בבאסי יום לחודש יהיה לכם הפסח חג שבועות ימים מצאת יחר ועשה הנשיא ביום ההוא ועדו בעל העם פרחתה פסח רב יום בשבעת ימי החג יעשה עולה לשם listen carefully during the 7 days of the holiday what does he make? שבעת פרים שבעה אלים תמימים בשבעת ימים וחטאת סריזים אחד וחטאת all of a sudden what does the nasi have to bring? seven פרים seven אלים And Sir Lachatat. That's where did that come from? And in the first month on over Pesach? What's the source of this? Understand the question? This is like out of nowhere. Again, the Nasi, the leadership was responsible. But why this Korban and why in the first month? Now, take a look, if you have your Tanakh. There's a parallel story, which is key to understanding all this. Because it happened about Rishon. The question is on Yecheskel, the question is on Chizkiyahu. Remember Chizkiyahu does a great reform? Ashur is about to come in. Chizkiyahu does this tremendous reform. As Father Achaz, remember? His Father Achaz totally turned the Mikdash into a Mikdash for Ashur. Remember he sent Uriah Kohen to fix the Mizbeach. Look in Divrei Yamim. Divrei Yamim, Perek, Divrei Yamim Bet. I need a corner for this one. Someone find it for me? Chizkiyahu is going to be Perek Lamed. Yeah. But that's Perek. We read Perek Haftet. Okay. In Perek Haftet, in Divrei Yamim Bet Perek Haftet. That starts Chizkiyahu. We did good. Look in Pasuk Gimel. Perek Haftet, Divrei Yamim Bet Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. By Hu b'shan rishon lemocho, b'chodesh rishon patach et otot beit Hashem v'chaskein. He became king. Remember this whole. Remember the sugya in Pesachim, Iber Nisan ben Nisan. He became king at the beginning of Nisan. Remember he dragged the bones of his father Achaz around? We're changing policy. As soon as he became king, he had to come and clean up the temple. Just like Yoshiel, later on. Got that? He's going to do a total cleansing of the temple, Chizkiyahu, the king. V'avet ha-kohanim ha-levim v'yisfu b'rachol b'mitzrah v'yimer lehem shimuni ha-levim atem b'katshu v'katshu b'beit Hashem v'otziu t'anidah min ha-kodesh. Who's doing this whole work? The kohanim and levim. Just like Yecheskel talks about. And he said, what did you wrong? Pasuk Vav ki malu avotenu vasu hara b'nei Hashem ve'azvu ve'yasabu p'nei mishkan ve'idu oref v'kam sagru datotu ulam. It says, you misused the Mikdash. It was ruined. We're going to come and fix it, and the Kohanim and Levim are going to do it. Ve'kuma Levim, they do all these things. They have to do this quickly. Skip to Pasuk Yitzayin. Or Pasuk Tetzayin. ויבואו הכהנים לפנים בבית השם לתאר ויוציאו את הטומאה שמצאו בהיכל השם לחצר בית השם וקבלו הלווים להוציא לאחות כאילו לחוצה. What I want to show you here, this is cleansing the temple from the time of Achaz. From not just the idol worship, but the whole, all the sins of Achaz. And Chizkiyahu is doing 180 degree tshuva. That's all I want to show you here. And listen what he does now. Pasuk Yitzhak. ויחילו באחד החודש הראשון, just like Yecheskel, right? וקדש וביום שמונה לחודש באו לעולם השם ויקדשו את בית השם לימים שמונה. ביום 16 לחודש ראשון כילוב. We're in the middle of Pesach now, aren't we? In the middle of Nisan. ובואו פנים מהחזקה המלך ואמרו תיארנו את כל בית השם, את מזבח העולה ואת כלליו ואת שולחן המערכת. You understand the comparison to נבואת יחזקאל? We're cleansing the temple from new. Cleaning out all the bad and starting a new start. פסק בית. I mean פסק חף. Listen carefully, פסק חף. Have it? Ve'ashkim Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He's the king, the Nasi. Remember, in Yecheskel, the king is the Nasi. Ve'asofet Sarei Ha'ir, the leaders. Ve'yav Beit Hashem, they all go to Hashem. Ve'aviu, listen carefully, Pasach Valef. Ve'aviu what? Parim, Shiva. Ve'elim, Shiva. Ve'kfasim, Shiva. Tzfirizim, Shiva. Al Mamalacha, Ve'al Mikdash, Ve'al Yehuda.
What?
What
is Tzfirizim?
It's they're goats, but... I guess it's time for the goat.
What? But other than that.
Yeah. What's it say in English?
Male goats.
Male goats. Vayomer divnei Aaron HaKohanim la'alot al mizbach Hashem. Who's bringing the Korban? The leaders, the political leaders. The king and the Sarim. Because what? They had sinned. And we're showing God, we're changing things. There's a cleansing of the temple, a rededication of the temple, and a Korban which is coming to show remorse. Yeah. And that's my idea, that if you want to show God, together with rebuilding the temple and showing you made a mistake, you need to do something physical. You have to do an act. And you bring a Korban, you make a big deal about it. And what did they do in the time of Chizkiel? They brought exactly the same Korban that we have in Yechezkel's vision. But in what book is it in? In Divrei Hayamim, which is a book of written in by Cheney. So, in other words, the authorship of this book, it's talking about events in Beit Rishon, but it's known during Beit Sheni. Now, Vayishchatu Abakar Vekabla Konim Et Adam, Vayishchatu Mizbeach Vekhule, Vayishchatu Eilim, Vayishchatu Adam Al Mizbeach Vekhule. Then, Vayigishu Et Sira Chatat, Lifnei HaMelech Vakal, Vayismuchu Yidem Alehem, Vayishchatu HaKohanim, and listen what happens, remember the Kohanim and Levim? We had Vayichesko? Look what happens now. Pasach Hafei. Vayamede Talavim Beit Hashem, and some time they start singing all the songs from David. They bring all the korbanot. They're bringing the levim extra. Here, pasuk lamed aleph. Vayan chizkel v'yomer atem bileitim yitchem Hashem k'shu v'yviu zvachim v'todot v'beit Hashem v'yviu kal zvachim v'todot v'chon divlev. They tell how many they brought. Then pasuk lamed aleph. Rak hakonim ayu lema'at v'lo yochlu lafshid et kol alot v'chazku ma'achem alevim al klot ha'blacha v'at yitkatshu hakonim ki alevim yishrei levav v'yitkadesh me'akonim. That's a big turnaround. Then he has a whole big Pesach. Remember, what happens next? It was Chodesh Nisan, but it was too late to have Pesach. So what does Chizkiel do? He makes Pesach Rishon in Chodesh Hashim. For sure.
So Mishnah.
Yeah, yeah, and then the end of the fourth paragraph of Pesachim. Shoshal Dudo Shoshal. It's Iber Nisan Ben Nisan. He had a nice Havamina, but nobody didn't like it. Because he invites all these people to come, they come from far away, but they were all tamid, and they brought Korban Pesach anyhow. So just read. I'll show you why no one ever teaches this. Luckily, they didn't find it. What did they do? Where does he pray for the people? Here, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Just go right to Yud Chet. Okay, Pasuk Yud Chet. Ki Marbit in Perak Lamed Pasuk Yud Chet. כי מרבית העם רבת מאפרים ומנשה יששכר זבולון לא יתערו, כי אכלו את הפסח ולא ככתוב, כי התפלא יחזקאל עליהם לאמור, השם הטוב יכפר בעד. He was pushing the envelope, wasn't he? He allowed the people, he invited all these people, he sent letters to all the way up north. We want to rebuild, we want to bring the Shvatim together. He sent letters. Remember, Chizkel is hoping that we have a new... You understand what Chizkel is doing in the beginning of his reign? It's a whole new ballgame, just like Yoshio does. Which is our topic. I'm saying there's a parallel in Beit Rishon. Let me just conclude, because I get my point across. In Beit Rishon, in Divrei Hayamim, we have an identical, at least a parallel situation, where everyone was bad, the temple was pretty much destroyed, a new king and leader takes a 180-degree policy change, renovates the temple, okay? Gets the Kohanim and Levim to lead the renovation and the education, and in order to mark the event of rededicating the temple, they bring special korbanot, and the korbanot they bring is identical what Yechezkel talks about. They're not in the Torah, Yechezkel's aren't in the Torah, they're called horacha, you want to call them, they're special korbanot, brought by who? Brought by the king, or by the leaders. And what's the purpose of that? You need to do an action, right? You're doing something, you need to do something to show, the leaders have to do it because they're responsible. Now, if you read, and therefore, what I'm getting at is Yechezkel isn't talking about anything new. Yechezkel is simply seeing in his vision something parallel happened already in the time of Chizkiel. And I can assume something very parallel happened in Yoshiel's time. Those two stories are super parallel in Divrei Hayamim. And remember, all Yechezkel begins with the 18th year of Yoshiel with the big. What I'm getting at is year one of Sefer Yechezkel. Remember, we start with year 30. Year one being the 18th year of Yoshiel. Look in Divrei Hayamim later on. Is an identical situation. Where the time of Manasseh was bad and Amon was bad, and the temple was wiped out, Yoshio does this great reform, cleans the temple, remember, gets rid of all the idol worship, makes a new Korban Pesach, makes a new Brit, and they enter a Brit, Yirmiyahu talks about that Brit, and there's an attempt to do a whole new turnaround. Now, that one failed, but it was a great idea. Why did it fail?
because they only did the ritual and they didn't do. And that's what Yechezkel is adding now. The Shol and the Shever and the Hamas. Okay? And therefore, this time, together with the building of the temple, what Yechezkel has to get across is, when you come back one day and rebuild the temple, it will happen. When you come back, the leadership has to take responsibility and take leadership, and we have to rebuild. But together with that, I have to do something to know it's different. But with those changes and with the details, what I have to remember, why it happened. And therefore, when I come back, I have to make sure the Nisi'im, who bring the Korban, and the leaders, they have to make sure they realize what they did wrong, what caused it to go bad, so it won't go bad again. Because they failed over and over. All these Chuba Mumins failed because they didn't emphasize that. And that's what Yechezkel and Yirmiyahu are talking about most of the time. And on top of that, we're going to bring special Korbanot, not changing the laws of the Torah, and they'll be different, and they're almost unheard of, but they're okay, it's a Horat Shah. And when we're doing something so different and special, what's going on here? And when the people do these special Korbanot, they're supposed to ask, and then the message that will come with it is the message of Yechezkel. We saw now in Parak. Now, yeah, real quickly, one of the messages.
Doesn't that underline the hopelessness? That, in fact, look, we did it before, and we did the wheel of Shuba, and it didn't work.
Oh, so,
and
yeah.
We're going to do it again, and it's not going to work. We're going to do it again, and it's not going to work, because...
Oh, you can't be a shul rabbi. Listen.
Over and over.
Listen. One answer is all the time is that it's a lost cause.
What?
One answer all the time is we keep on doing Shuba, and it doesn't work. We call that the Yom Kippur syndrome. Well, every day we do the same thing, and we go back to our old ways again. But that's the whole world of tshuva. That's the 49 levels. So the fact it failed once doesn't mean give up. The fact it failed once means next time we got to try better. And therefore, if we try better, we need to do something, small changes to remember we have to be better. Now, just listen to the road of chumrot, which we're so familiar with. So we sometimes complain about it. But there's logic to it. But why are they so machmir now on Kol Yishar, like liberal? When Western society is so extreme to one side, you have to go extreme to the other side. So we could say that's ridiculous, but there's logic to it. It's a chumra, fine. But because you're fighting something so extreme on one side, I got to do something sometime extreme to the other side to remember. I'm trying to explain the role of chumra.
It's a counterbalance.
Yeah, better, easier than what I explained. Counterbalance is the idea. Because there's a history behind this, both in Bayit Rishon, what Yechezkel is doing, I'm trying to make sense. It's not something weird. If you read just the Stirot and don't see what we just read, Kol Ma Shabrav Lechem Chabas V'Shor Hasiru Mishpat Tzedakah Asu Hirum Kushetechem Mosnei Tzedek Afnei Tzedek, that's Sefer Dvarim, right? And Sefer Toshim to you and Parsha Mishpatim. Now, one more line. Pasuk, what do you call it? Pasuk in Pasuk Tetzayim. Kol Amar Tziu Al Trumazot לנשיא והנשיא יהיה הולדות המנחה והנסף החגים החודשים בשבתות כל מועדי בית ישראל הוא יעשה את החדת ואת המנחה ואת העולה והשלמים לחפרו בית ישראל כל מהשם ראשון באחד החודש יחפר במקר let's we talk about in the seven we talk about all these things. Now, was this a kavod minhag or the idea, but the idea that the leadership has to do something special and extra to remember that they're responsible for what went wrong and they have to be responsible to make things better, that shouldn't surprise us of being in the vision. Now, one last thing, the bottom. This is the last line of what I have here. Perek Mem Zayin in Yechezkel, Pasuk Aleph. V'ashivino petach habayit b'nei mayim yotzi mipetach mitach mifan habayit kadima ki pnei habayit kadim v'mayim yodim mitachat haketev. In this vision, now the water is coming out of Yerushalayim. That's like Zechariah. And then unchatem oto ish ke'achiv asher nesat yadi v'nafal sazot v'nachala. I'm sorry. What I wanted was... I'm sorry. And Mem Vav. I'm sorry. Mem Vav Yudchet. Mem Vav Yudchet. Right before him. ולא ייקח הנשיא מלאכת העם, להונותם מאחוזתם, מאחוזתו ינחה את פניו, למען אשר לא יפוצה מביץ ישראל. What's he complaining about? Leadership can't expropriate property. In Bayit Rishon, the leadership was overdoing it. And therefore, when we come back in Bayit Sheni, one of the reasons why the leaders have to bring these korbanot is to make sure they remember not to take advantage of the leadership position. And don't take away land. The land belongs to the people. And the problem of nobility, controlling all the land, and causing nobles and serfs and what's called a par chavrati, that was sure a problem in the end of Bayit Rishon. It's a problem in every society. And one of the reasons why the leadership have the ability to control the economy and to take advantage of the economy, they of all people have to bring these special korbanot to remember, not that they have to bring korbanot, to remember that they have to be, they shouldn't act in a way that caused the first one to be destroyed. So that was Yechezkel pretty much, I hope I got my main point across. Two things. One is that this isn't just new to Yechezkel.
the need for special korbanot. And like a type of milu, we have it in Chumash because of Chetegel. We have it with Chizkiyahu. We have it with Yoshiel. So don't be surprised we find it in Yechezkel as well, in his vision. It's the same thing, and you're right, it didn't work. It worked a little bit. Remember, according to Yonah, even 20 years of tshuva is worth something. The fact that it didn't work forever doesn't mean it wasn't worth it. Remember, Yonah at the end, even 20 minutes of shade, God's happy with. So it's not messianic, but it's redemptive. You know, so Yoshiel, 20 years were great. So what's so bad? And if by Sheni we had 50-100 good years, and by now we've had 50 good years, it's not, if it falls apart, it was meaningless. There's not even the partial redemption, and even a couple years of good. But what's necessary to recognize there was a reason for Korban, and the responsibility of return is upon the leadership and the people, and not to give up hope, and things can get better. But what you need to do when God does help you come back, that's the main job of the Navi. And the main job of the Navi is, again, it's not like you said, not to teach us halachot. He's not coming as a posek. He's coming as a Navi to shape history. And if he's going to add things and change things, his goal is not to go and change the Torah. His goal is to make sure that people remember what went wrong, and his goal is to make sure next time it'll work right, or try as much as possible. And instead of looking at it, the way academics look at it, I want to get that crystal clear. Academics look at this, they just myopically take, this is looks like Vayikra, looks like P. Remember? This is P1, P2. Okay. It's different. Two different sources. You know, our Chumash ended up with one source, and this one got another one. These are all, what do you call it? Priestly things from different time periods, and there's no meaning to anything, except for some little mixed-up redactor. But they missed the whole point. And Yechezkel isn't writing a halacha book, and it's not a different priestly code. His main point is, as a Navi, to get the people to repent properly, to be worthy of God being in their midst again, to have the Shekhinah in their midst. And if I have to take chumrot and change things to get that point across, we have that, it's logical. And a Navi for sure could do that, and God can tell a Navi to do that. And the main thing we learn from Yechezkel is not how to build a temple. It's how we have to act to be worthy of a temple. How we build it, that Eliel knows. When to build it, that's for Eliel. What we need to do to rebuild it, that's Yechezkel, Yirmiyahu, and the other Nevi'im.